The following program is sponsored by What's Right, What's Left Ministries and is responsible for its content.
Portions of the following program may be pre-recorded.
I am Pastor Ernie Sanders, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. My radio broadcast, What's Right, What's Left, is coming up right now.
From Independence, Ohio.
You changed our life for the better in many different ways.
Heard around the world every Monday through Friday.
Pastor Sanders is always years ahead of the rest of the media, telling you exactly what they're covering up.
This is What's Right, What's Left.
I tune in every chance I get to hear exactly what's going on with the voice of the Christian resistance.
Unabashedly cutting through the rhetoric by exposing the hard topics facing our society and world.
A lot of the other news media don't pick up the news items like he does.
And bring into light the enemies of freedom who are out to steal your rights, your children, and enslaving you.
You really get the truth out. I can tune into your show and hear the unvarnished truth. Thank you.
This is What's Right, What's Left with Pastor Ernie Sanders.
Good evening and welcome to another edition of What's Right, What's Left on this 15th day of February, 2023, in this here United States of America. And tonight, way back there in the glass cage, that's right, on the telephones, right? You've had groupies, and you have Snoopies, and they're on the phones, but they're not phonies. All right, they're the real, genuine article, and that is Eric and, well, let's see, Frank's back there, Eric, Frank, and Randy, and then in the glass cage between those two, none other with a smile on the dial, our producer, Kyle.
Hey, Pastor, how are you tonight?
Oh, I'm doing okay, Kyle. And right here live in the studio with me, she may weigh less than my shadow. I don't know. But she's a flip and a flutter, and she's a bounce and a stutter. None other than Studio Marm, Little Lisa.
Good evening, everyone.
All right, now get back there. Get on that phone. All right, now, way out yonder in Missouri, he's known as that back road preacher, none other than the parson, Pastor Joe Larson.
Glad to be here. In fact, the more I hear about what goes on back there, I'm glad I'm here.
Well, what's going on? Don't worry. We got it under control. I'm on top of it, I'm telling you.
You're on top of it. Okay.
That's right. Okay. Yep. All right. So that's why we're here. All righty. All them dead chickens we got all around us here because of the train derailment, we're sending to Missouri.
Okay. I think you better send them to the Homeland Security, the EPA. Okay. You know, there's a few federal agencies that probably ought to be handling that. FEMA, right?
Right.
You should go to FEMA. Yeah, I think that's what you ought to do. Along with the dead fish and everything else, send it to them.
They don't like me.
Oh, yeah, I see why. They don't like any of us.
All righty, there you go. We got a lot to cover tonight, a whole lot. So we got to get into it and get it done. All right, you ready to roll?
Ready.
Okay, getting back into the message. The message was the new old religion. We talked about that, how it's been revived, this thing they call climate change. It's nothing more than the old religion of Earth worship or Gaia worship, if you want.
Gaia worship, yeah.
And here, and so
worshiping the creation rather than the creator. God explained it long ago, didn't he?
And we were talking about delusion. We started out with taking a look at the illusions and delusions. Today we have the language of illusion. To when they want to make the most hideous sins palatable, they just use terminology, words. They come up with a language of illusion. And, of course, whoever frames the debate wins the debate, and we don't let them get away with it here, not a bit. And so we talked about that.
They used to call it political correctness, and now they've taken gone from political correctness to running the narrative to who knows what will be the next term, right?
Right. And we talked about lying spirits. How, boy, is that prevalent today, especially in the fake news media. Okay. They just don't talk. They just don't call them lies. They just call them, what do they call them, Joe? Narratives.
Narratives.
That's the narrative.
Stick to the narrative.
You turn on the echo chamber. And remember, if we all say the same thing
at the same time, the people
will believe us.
It.
And yeah. We've showed you how that's happened. If you just turn the dial, NBC, ABC, CBS, word for word, they're all telling the same lies, word for word. But they look like they mean it. They look professional, and they're actually contracted out there today. Contracted liars. They're told, you're going to stay with whatever the narrative, whatever it is we give you, that's what you're going to say. And if you should have a contrary opinions, then you need to look somewhere else for a job, right?
Right.
And what happens, that's where a number of the people said, you know, I just can't do this anymore. I just can't do it. I can't just sit, keep lying. I'm going to go find a place where I can tell the truth, huh?
Well, or at least more of the truth.
Some Alrighty.
Of them are a little sketchy, but they couldn't stomach the whole thing.
And so, do you know, people, there's something that's very, very plentiful, okay? But most of them are not very good, but there's very plentiful. Do you know what that is, Joe? Opinions. Everybody's
opinions,
got opinions,
yeah.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
Do you know anyone with opinions?
A few thousand people.
Yeah. So everybody's got opinions, but most of them usually aren't very good. And I remember just recently I've had to deal with a woman who has often decided to tell me what I should be doing, how I should be doing my job, how I should be, conducting the morning services. And in fact, on three different occasions, stood up during the service and got herself in a whole lot of trouble with the people for interrupting the service, but has done that in other churches and been made to leave other churches for doing that. But
yeah, she's making the rounds, in other words.
Yeah, well, she doesn't understand, and this situation, too, unfortunately, the very same woman hasn't, her children hasn't spoken to her for years because she has these opinions and she believes she's right, but she tries to force opinions on people. In other words, unwanted. Now, we do that as preachers. Our job is to preach the truth of the gospel of Christ, but we can't force it on anybody, can we?
No.
And so,
no, the Lord has to be the one that opens their heart. We can do what he says and preach the word. Conviction comes from the Holy Spirit of God.
And the one thing is very, very, very important is the truth, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so we're going to pick it up where we left off.
God says something about, it's so important. He said liars have their place in the lake of fire. So I think that kind of tells you how important the truth is to God.
Absolutely. Now, here we have this fellow. We're going to go to the book of Job, chapter 4. And there's this fellow named Eliphaz, and he's a Temanite.
I thought you said 24.
No, it's 4.
4, okay. Well, we had a miscommunication. Would you believe that you and I actually somewhere made a mistake?
Alrighty, well, we're going to the book.
Verse 12 through.
No, we're going to do. We're going to start now in verse 1.
Oh.
And we're going to read a couple of verses, and then here, as before we go through that, we'll talk a little bit about Eliphaz. Now, Eliphaz, the Temanite, he was a friend of Job's, and he was one of those fellows that kind of had a lot of advice to give. And he really didn't know what he was talking about, and he got himself in a whole lot of trouble with God for doing exactly that. And so here he was telling Job why all of this has befallen Job. And here he's talking to someone who's much more righteous than he is and giving advice that is not good advice. And again, got him in a lot of trouble with the Lord for doing what he did. So go ahead and read verse 1 through 7.
All right. Then Eliphaz the Temanite answered and said, "If we essay to commune with thee, wilt thou be grieved? But who can withhold himself from speaking? Behold, thou hast instructed many, and thou hast strengthened thy weak hands. Thy words have upholden him that was falling, and thou hast strengthened the feeble knees. But now it has come upon thee, and thou faintest. It toucheth thee, and thou art troubled. Is not this thy fear, thy confidence, thy hope, and thy uprightness of thy ways? Remember, I pray thee, whoever perished, being innocent, or where were the righteous cut off?"
All right, so Eliphaz is saying, Job, the righteous aren't persecuted. The righteous aren't punished. Boy, I'm going to tell you, that doesn't say a whole lot for all the prophets.
No, it doesn't.
and the apostles?
Or the apostles.
It was that fellow named Jesus. He wasn't treated very well, was he?
No.
Okay, was he righteous?
He was pretty innocent, and he was totally righteous, so yeah.
He
that was a little before, Eliphaz's time, too.
Well, you mean that was before Eliphaz was before Jesus? Not actually. You have to understand that the Lord, through this book that he's dealing with, the same Lord that's angry with Eliphaz is the Lord Jesus himself.
True. We know that, but he had no idea.
Well, no. And see, that's why if you don't know what you're talking about, it's good not to talk about it.
Very much.
The Democrats don't know that.
They sure don't.
And so Eliphaz here, when you talk about a man who was treated worse and felt more pain than anyone ever existed, was the Lord Jesus. There was no more, never a person that was more innocent, and yet he was treated the very worst. So Eliphaz is kind of way off here in his theology, and he says, "Even as I have seen that thy plow iniquity and sow wickedness and reap the same." What is he saying? Is he making an accusation against Job?
Yes, he is, but at the same time he's wrong, because there are many out there who have plowed iniquity and sowed wickedness and apparently have gotten rich and powerful, but their punishment will come later.
And so we go to verse 11. He's saying, "And the old lion perishes for lack of prey, and the stout lion's whelps are scattered abroad." Is he telling Job it's time, Job, that it's time for you to kind of step down?
I would say, yeah, you're getting old and feeble, and yeah.
I would never say that to you, Joe.
Yeah, because you're almost my age, right? Sorry. I shouldn't have mentioned. We're both a little past our prime, maybe.
Listen, we forgot to get the... This is pledge week. We got to get the number out. 888-281-1110. 888-281-1110. My gosh, Joe. If we don't have a good night tonight and the next two nights, we may not be on a lot of the stations that are listening to us right now. And I'm not kidding you, folks. We will not be there. We really got to hear from you. We really got to hear from you.
Right. We are totally listener-sponsored, and you saw what happens. Pastor Ernie and I are wrapped up in preaching the gospel, being the watchman on the wall, and we try not to, money is not one of the things, because we don't get paid. We are here serving the Lord. No one in this ministry gets paid. Your donations are going to pay the radio bills, pay the time, so that you can hear the program.
All right.
That's how this works.
Bob and Lori in Michigan pledge 75. Let's see, Jill in Beaver Creek, Ohio pledges 100. Thank you. And again, the phone lines are open at 888-677-9673 or 888-281-1110. We've got
that is the credit card line too. If you want to charge on a credit card,
we've got a whole lot of information, Joe. We got an update coming in about 10 minutes on the hearing on the inaugurated frequent fraudulently Supremes to look at again. So that's the Brunson Brothers case that's set for this Friday. And we're going to be taking another look at it tonight. We've got Ken Cromer's going to call in and give us some updates on what's going on with that case. So
it could be the biggest thing that's happened, or it could just be another shutdown by the deep state. We don't know, but there is a chance to restore this nation back where it's supposed to be with Donald Trump as president.
Yeah, that was a fraud. We told people from day one. That election was stolen. It was a fraudulent election. It was stolen. It was taken. And it needs to be.
We different ways it was done, too, right?
Absolutely. But anyhow, let's get back to where we left off. So here now, we talked about the different ways of the language of illusion. And then remember what Satan said to Eve? He tried to put doubt in her mind, didn't he?
Right. Ye shall not surely die.
Did God say, right, that you should not eat of the fruit? Did God say, surely you will not die? So the idea was to put doubt in the minds of Adam and Eve about trusting God, huh?
Yes.
Okay, so now let's take a look at old Eliphaz, because he's not he doesn't have some very good discernment.
No, and he's trying to cast doubt on his friend. He's trying to get his friend to admit that he's in the position he's in because he sinned, because things he did or didn't do, and that, Job, you weren't as righteous as you thought, and he's doing a put-down on his friend.
Okay, so now let's pick it up in verse 12. Now, go ahead, Job. Read verse 12 through 21.
Now, a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, and thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth on men, fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, the hair of my flesh stood up. It stood still, but I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes. There was silence, and I heard a voice saying, shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels he charged with folly. How much less in them that dwell in the house of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding it. Doth not their excellency which is in them go away? They die even without wisdom.
All right, going back to verse 12. Now a thing was secretly brought to me, and mine ear received a little thereof, in thoughts from the visions of the night, when deep sleep falleth upon men. Fear came upon me, and trembling, which made all my bones to shake. Then a spirit passed before my face, and the hair of my flesh stood up. You know, it was an interesting thing because I've had several occasions where I've been in the presence of Satanists, where they've been nearby and close to me, and I would look, and this has happened to me. It happened to me once when I went to the parole board for a hearing for an inmate. And he was framed. This inmate was framed by Satanists. The whole thing had to do with Satanism. Was five little girls were murdered. It's a long story I can't get into tonight. But this fellow was framed by the Satanist and eventually executed. And two of these were prosecutors who had come down. And my back was to him. And all of a sudden I looked, and the hair on my arms stood up, and the same thing. And I turned around, and as soon as they had eye contact with me, you ought to have seen the look on their faces. It was a look of pure fear. They turned away, and they couldn't look in my direction, and I knew who they were then. And then another time there was a fellow, I did a television program, and myself and some other pastors, and there was supposed to be a man who was a former high priest in the Church of Satan, and he was supposedly have come out of the Church of Satan by God's grace, God saved, so on and so forth, and he was going to be with us. Well, it was an interesting thing because we had stopped back in those days at a McDonald's, and we were sitting in there, and all of a sudden the very same thing happened. The hair on my arms raised up. You know, they tell you if you're out there on a golf course and that happens to hit the ground, okay, because you're about to get hit.
Yeah, lightning. You can feel the electricity build.
Yeah. So what happened, Joe? I'm looking at, and then I look up, and here comes this fellow dressed all in black, and he's got white hair. And same thing. As soon as we had eye contact, when he looked at me, he had a look of absolute fear. Now, this guy was supposed to be with us at the start of the television program. He was supposed to be with us in prayer. He was supposed to be there. And then he was going to go on and talk about how he had come out of Satanism. He never came out of it. He never came out of it because he made it to, as far as to the prayer meeting. And when the pastor started praying, he couldn't stay in there. He left. And so this guy had never come out of Satanism. He was never saved like he was professing to be. So now here, what you have in this situation with Eliphaz doesn't know who he's talking to. He thinks he's talking to God, and then he should have figured it out by this time. It stood still, and I could not discern the form thereof. An image was before mine eyes, and there was silence, and I heard a voice saying, "Shall mortal man be more just than God? Shall a man be more pure than his maker? Behold, he put no trust in his servants, and his angels charged he with folly. How much less in them that dwell in houses of clay, whose foundation is in the dust, which are crushed before the moth. They are destroyed from morning to evening. They perish forever without any regarding of it. Doth not their excellency, which is in them, go away? They die even without wisdom." So he's saying, if God would take those fallen angels, the ones that rebelled, who are so much superior to man, if he would cast them, down into the pit, then why should you have any trust in God, right?
Right. Why should you trust God at all? He's going to come after you.
And so who is it that always accuses the opposition of doing what he's doing?
Satan. Satan was the original liar. But we know that the communists have used that that method from the very beginning.
Well, Karl Marx was a practicing Satanist.
Right.
And
that
so
ties hand in hand, doesn't it?
Yep, that's exactly where he got it, right, from the devil himself. And so, all right, we're going to be coming up to a break. When we come back from the break, we're going to be looking in. We have Ken Cromer, if he makes it here on time. I know he's involved in some things. We're going to get into that when he gets here and about the case that's coming up that will affect folks that could have a huge, huge, huge effect in this country. So we'll be back. I want to say, let me see. Paul in Texas pledged 50. Muriel in Miguel in the Bronx pledged 100. Thank you. Thank you. And we're just about up to the break, aren't we? Where's the break? Take it away.
The American American dream has become a nightmare. Signs of the time are on cardboard on corners in town. There's a cancer called crime in our cities and an unspoken fear. We're on our way down. We must take America back, put an end to the gangs and the drugs in the streets, and the fact that the bad guys most always go free, that is wrong. We need leaders who lead us, not stick us and bleed us, and take all our money and send it abroad. Some city schoolyards, when bullets and birth control outnumber books, something's wrong. There's a hunger for good news and heroes, but good news is no news, so all of the heroes are gone. We must take America.
That's what it's all about. That's what we're fighting with everything we have to do to take America back, one nation under God, the way it was given to us. That's the way it was given to us, one nation under God. We were the freest, the most prosperous nation in the world because America was good. It was founded by godly men who loved the Lord. And right now we are in a battle with the Antichrist, the woke-a-dopes. The woke-a-dopes are right from the pit of hell. And, folks, it's up to us. Look, we represent God, right? It's not we may not all be wearing uniforms today, but, folks, if you're a born-again, Bible-believing Christian, then you have...
You're a Christian soldier, and you're in his army. Right?
Absolutely, because it kind of works this way. We have obligations to the Lord, right? He has expectations to us, right? And we have to have the highest standards, don't we?
Well, we're working for God. He's got the highest standards in the world.
All righty. So we got to do it, don't we?
By the way.
All righty, folks. And let me see. Richard in Ohio pledges 100. Betty in Michigan pledges 100. And Joe in Staten Island pledges 100. Keep it coming, folks. We need to hear from you tonight. And I'm still looking for a few people to match the thousands. I pledged 2,000 this week. So I'm just looking for someone to match 1,000 of that 2,000. 1,000 of that 2,000 this week. So that's right. We're into this all the way. We put our money where our mouth is, right? And it's not about us. It's about taking America back for God. And so now we have Ken Cromer calling in. He's out there.
Yes, sir.
You're way out there. Where? In Utah, aren't you?
Tonight.
Pardon?
I say it's good to be with you and your good listeners again tonight.
Well, it's good to have you. Are you going to behave tonight?
I'll try.
All righty. Okay.
If you'll show me the way, I'll follow.
All right. Okay. Listen, Ken, tell you what I'm going to do. I'm going to read something here and then turn it over to you because you know all about this. Ready? Inaugurated fraudulently Supremes to look again at the 2020 election claims. The U.S. Supreme Court has decided to take another look at the 2020 election fraud claims, and it will only take 4 votes for the case to come under a full briefing and argument schedule. A report from Just the News reveals that justices are to review a lawsuit charging Joe Biden, Kamala Harris, and others, including 290 corrupt members of the House and 94 corrupt senators, violating their oaths of offices for refusing to investigate evidence of fraud in the 2020 election before certifying Biden as the winner. They failed all of us. They failed God and they failed country. They didn't have the courage when it really counted. And there were people there, and I was really disappointed in people who I thought I expected a lot more from. But anyhow, that meant the case charges that Biden and Harris were inaugurated fraudulently. They were, absolutely, no doubt about it.
Mm-hmm.
The plaintiff in the case is Raylan J. Brunson, and he's seeking to the removal from office of those who committed that offense. The court last month declined to hear the case but filed a petition for reconsideration, and now the court has scheduled a private conference for that review. 4 of the 9 justices must vote to review for a hearing to be scheduled. Critics of President Trump's claim about election fraud say his arguments repeatedly have lost in courts, often decisions by Democratic-appointed judges. But what is known about the 2020 election is that Mark Zuckerberg handed out through foundations hundreds of millions of dollars that local election officials often use to influence the result of recruiting votes from Democratic presidents. Well, that's just the beginning of what they did, the fraud. But go ahead, Ken, take it away.
Oh, thank you so much. Last time we, let me just do a quick flashback. The first time we ever spoke was with Loy Brunson and myself on your show shortly before Christmas, if you'll recall. And Loy came on the show and explained his brother's brief. There's 4 Brunson brothers, Roland, Darren, Loy, and Gaynor. And I know them all. Haven't known them that well. Loy lived only 7 houses away from me, and we were in the same church, going to the same church building for a number of months. And so we were only fairly new to each other. But isn't it interesting that out of a little city called Cedar Hills, Utah, population 10,000, and I used to be a city councilman there, that we've suddenly hit the map in a big way of just some average everyday people trying to help save this country through the Supreme Court. Now, they filed a case that took to almost 2 years to get through the process before the Supreme Court would actually give it a docketing number, and that number is 22-380. Write that down, 22-380. This is a moment in American history in that one case that will go down in history as one of the most important cases ever filed at the Supreme Court. And it was to be it was not officially received for hearing. They were going to decide that on January 6th on exactly the 2-year anniversary in what they call conference, where they vote on each of the cases to decide if they're actually going to take them into hearings. They denied the Brunson case, and there's no explanation. There's no count of votes. They don't tell you anything. Now, the Brunsons were not dissuaded at all. They decided that they would in fact, they were ready for anything. They figured if they deny us, we're going to come back. As it turns out, there's five opportunities to petition for rehearing in the conference meeting to see if they'll reconsider hearing it. Well, number one comes up on Friday, this coming Friday, the 17th of February. And the documents about that can be found at cedarhillcitizens.org. That's cedarhillscitizens.org. What you'll see there is 8 or 9 articles regarding this using the Constitution to save the Constitution, and it has Rowland's petition for rehearing written down there. It's very short, it's very clean, it's very straightforward, and it's very matter of fact of you really need to hear this case. This is a constitutional matter, and do we have an oath of office to the Constitution to protect it from enemies, foreign and domestic, or don't we? Do we have a Constitution? Do we have an oath, or don't we? And that's the simple question. If we do, then these men must be removed, men and women must be removed from office, and that even includes Biden, Kamala Harris. Mike Pence is no longer in office, but there are consequences, as well as Nancy Pelosi. Now, on Friday, we're going to know a lot about what kind of a Supreme Court we've got. Are they going to hear the case or aren't they? Will we get 4 votes of justices to put it into the hearing process, which is a number of weeks and months it takes to go through that process? But we're going to know pretty quick on Friday if we have a constitutional SCOTUS or an unconstitutional one. Do we have a constitution in this nation or don't we? And I would invite your good listeners who are, if they're listening to you, Pastor, they're people who care about this country and they're ready to fight, and it's time to fight. And I'm here tonight to share with you some brand new breaking news. I literally got off the phone, pardon me, with Darren Brunson moments ago as he's finalizing a new avenue to actually allow people to be able to there's an affidavit declaring and demanding for a redress of grievances with regards to this case. And we've discovered a way to let people be able to become a part of the fight by submitting their own affidavit and declaration to the Supreme Court and attaching it to the Brunson case. Now, this is hot off the press. It's happened today. We've been kicking the document around, Darren and myself. We did it over the weekend to create the affidavit, which is article number 3. Sorry, at the cedarhillcitizens.org, there's 9 articles. Number 3 gives the text of the affidavit. It is stunning. It is monumental. It is foundational. It is probably the most important. It's referencing the most important case to come before the Supreme Court in decades, if not centuries. And basically, it's just saying, SCOTUS, are you for real or aren't you? Because if you do not hear this case, that is what's called misprision of treason. Now, we talked about that earlier, didn't we, Pastor?
Misprison, we sure did. Mm-hmm. In fact, that was discussed earlier this week on the program. I'm trying to think.
You mentioned that.
Yeah.
Do you mind if I give a quick explanation?
Go right ahead.
You bet. Thank you. In our case, Barbie and Ken versus Goliath IRS, 18 court cases, 5 years and 2 months now, 75-man SWAT team, blah, blah, blah. We, unbeknownst to the Brunsons and us of them and them of us, have been working our way to the Supreme Court. And in our studies, as we're preparing our document, we're not too far away from making our own filing. Ours is about habeas corpus. But in our research, we discovered some very important principles. And one of the principles is what's called misprision of treason. That is under federal statute. I'll pull up the number here in just a second. It's Title 18 USC, and I'll give you the section in a moment. But what that says is anybody who has an oath of allegiance to the United States, which would be, of course, all the judges and congressmen, they must, when notified of the potential of treason, they must act on that claim, or if they do not act on the question of potential treason, they now become part of that treason.
Ken, hang on. I've got to give the phone numbers out again. This is Pledge Night. Folks,
yes, sir.
Got to hear from you. Listen, what you're hearing is very, very important. If we don't hear from you, you won't be hearing from us. 888-281-1110 or 888-677-9673. We got a whole bunch of people sitting in that room waiting for you to call. And I want to say, Bert in Illinois, thank you. Bert pledges 50, and Rose in New York pledges 50. Thank you, Bert. Thank you, Rose. Go ahead, Ken.
Yes, sir. Misprision of treason, that is so powerful. We did some deep dive research on this term misprision, and as it relates to treason. And it is one of the most significant defining laws that is on the books. Let me just say it again, because I hope this is sinking in. If somebody, you, me, and us now, we can help the Brunsons by filing our own affidavit at cedarhillcitizens.org. You can find the information. cedarhillcitizens.org, article number 3, has the affidavit sample that you can fill out yourself and send into the Supreme Court. And what that is saying is that anybody can come to the Supreme Court, or to any court, actually, and basically has a straight shot at them saying, look, there's treason here. We're waving the flag. We think there's treason here, okay? Now, you've been notified. And as required by Title 18, you must investigate this issue. And if you don't, you are now a part of the treason. Now, somebody would say, oh, well, don't you mean aiding and abetting? No. Don't you mean an accomplice? No. The way the law is written and the meaning of misprision, according to Bouvier, we'll talk about that in just a second. Bouvier's wrote constitutional law definitions back in 1856, I think it was, and Congress accepted it in an act of Congress, that dictionary. And that dictionary explains that you cannot even be an accomplice to treason in this misprision of treason. Once notified, you're either in or you're out. You're either part of the treason or you're part of solving it. Supreme Court, you're on notice. And all of your listeners out there, Pastor Sanders, can be a part of helping save America, part of helping SCOTUS realize they don't have a choice. They have to rule on this case. This case is foundational. It will determine the future of our nation. And on a personal note, I believe that if this is the most peaceful way that we can save our country, because right now, as you know as well as I do, our government has declared war on we the people. You see it with the EPA. You see it with what's happening in your state of Ohio with the train derailment. Why how did that happen? They are letting it happen. Why are the balloons happening? Why is the IRS being weaponized and going after Barbie and Ken out of little old Cedar Hills, Utah, and sending in a 75-man SWAT team? Why? The government has declared war on us, and so now it's time. We're heading towards an all-out civil war, which I think is what the deep state wants. They want us to kill each other off. But the reality is the only monsters that need to die, quote-unquote, so to speak, I'm not saying go kill anybody, but to kill the monster that is the deep state government, you got to suffocate it with the charges of treason and let those charges fall where they may. And it's time to remove the oath-breaking officials at every level of government, starting with the 388 that are mentioned in the Brunson versus Alma case. at the Supreme Court in docket number 22-380. Okay, I said a lot there. I hope that makes sense.
Yeah, it does. But here's my question. Like, what you said is true. We know that. We know that
Yes. The
election was stolen. We know that the FBI, the CIA, the NSA have been weaponized against us. The IRS has been weaponized against us. You're absolutely right. In fact, here I have a good article here that hits the nail on the head. No accidents. The oblivious masses have no idea that they're being systematically exterminated by a series of planned disasters. We were telling people about the COVID vax, that it wasn't a vax, that it was a biological bioweapon.
Yes.
Way back before the first person took their shot, Joe, you remember, we were here saying, look, don't take this. When this stuff comes out, I don't care who tells you to take it. Do not take it. Every one of the test animals have died. This is not, we were telling people, do not take it. And yet they did. Now, a number of more and more people are coming out. Dan Bongino from Fox News, he's yes. coming out now. He's complaining. We were begging people not to take it. And now Levine,
Mark Levine, yeah.
Mark Levine.
The first people I was aware of saying, don't do it. We called it the poison poke. And,
right.
Yes. Not just, it wasn't even a vaccine. It is not, was not, and still is not a vaccine.
And, well, see, these guys, Hannity was pushing that. We were trying to tell you. Levine was talking about pushing it. Now, And one person that really should have known better, because he should have had a discernment, and that's Franklin Graham. I could not believe I fell off my chair when I heard him.
Oh, I remember that. Yes,
encouraging people to take. I said, Franklin, come on, man. And now, of course, he got the myocarditis, and I'm hoping he will come out and tell people, look, I made a mistake. I was wrong. I never should have done that. And please, if you haven't taken it, do not take it, okay? But you're right.
Mr. Sanders, may I add an amen to what you're saying? And, you know, we have a predominant religion out here in Utah, and my family has been part of the church out here. I go all the way back to Brigham Young, and I'm a great-great-great-grandson. But our leader of our church said, this is safe and effective. And so many people on that issue alone, like a Franklin Graham, they were deceived, frankly, and it is heartbreaking. It is divided church member against church member out here saying, gosh, this is not safe and effective, and so many took it just because the head of the church said it was safe and effective.
Well, the Pope was pushing it big time.
Yeah.
And so, and all of these people now, and we've seen what happens. In fact, I just did a report yesterday about in our military how so many of our young military soldiers, the myocarditis affects the males more than the females. The females have a problem with bleeding. They have a real problem with bleeding.
Reproductive.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
And so.
And now they're saying that the protein, spike protein, is going into the ovaries and into the female organs.
Yes.
And staying there. So that could be future all kinds of problems.
All right, Janice in Minnesota pledges
story,
another 50, and Dan from Michigan pledges 100, 888-281-1110. Folks, we have to hear from you. Right now, we got less than one hour, and we're way, way, way away from our goal for tonight. So 888-281-1110. Only 1 month, 1 week out of the month, 1 week out of the month do we have to have a pledge week. And then the rest of the month, you don't hear anything from us. But that's the only amount of time. We have less than 10 hours in a week to raise enough money to stay on all those stations. And now, you know, we've had to go off recently six stations. We want to stay on the station that you're on now. We want to bring you programs that many don't have the courage to bring you. And those in the mainstream media don't want you to know. But we got to hear from you tonight. We do at 888-677-9673. Go ahead. I want to say again, thank you, Janice in Minnesota and Dan in Michigan. All right. Well, we need, and you know, very quickly, I'd still like to have somebody somebody matched my $1,000. Somebody matched the $1,000 pledge that I gave. So please call us in, 888-281-1110. Go ahead and finish what you were saying, Ken.
Well, I'm trying to think really where to jump in for the few minutes here. I'm looking at Bouvier's Law Dictionary from 1856. I mentioned that. I'll just read the definition here. It's very interesting. It says, misprision of treason is the concealment of treason by being merely passive. Does that make sense? You can be part of
like
treason
by
just not
by
doing
omission.
Anything.
Yeah,
yes, lying exactly.
By omission.
Right.
Yep. And it goes on to explain, for if any assistance is given to the traitor, it makes the party a principal, as there is no accessories in treason. Now, let me translate that. When it says there's no accessories in treason, you can't be a willing accomplice. You can't aid and abet. It's saying that once you don't do anything when treason is notified, you now are part of the treason. And so reading on here in this document that Darren Brunson's allowed me to try to help out a little bit with, it says, therefore, you, Mr. Supreme Court members, are alerted by case number 22380 of potential treason and cannot remain passive without that treason becoming in and of itself a constructive act of treason, meaning you do nothing, you're part of the treason. That's powerful stuff.
That is powerful stuff.
That is powerful stuff.
You're right, but here's go ahead.
Go ahead.
Well, here's the problem we have, first of all, in here. Why were there so many courts that refused to hear the case? Well, they were told to stand down. They were told to stand down by the Department of Defense. And so they said, there's an excuse. There's a reason we don't have to do our job, that what we're supposed to do. Now,
yes.
What you're saying is true, and the Supreme Court knows that. But then they're going to be told, listen, if you do that, if you do the right thing, which you're there, if you uphold your oath, that'll bring a civil war. If you remove the president, then you're going to have burn, loot, and murder, Antifa. They're all, you know, in all of the thousands and actually millions of illegals and terrorists that Joe Biden has brought into this country for such a case like this, to have them standing by, they're going to burn the country down, and it'll be your fault. If you do your job, it'll be your fault. And that's what we're up against out there. But
that's the counter argument, isn't it?
Yeah. Well, God's bigger than that, right?
Oh yeah.
So
yeah.
And so we're coming up to a break. How much time do I have, Kyle? Okay, we're coming up to a break, and we're going to have to. When we come back from the break, we'll pick it up and we'll look at this counter argument. But and then I'm going to play a little clip, okay? And then let me do this. I'll play the clip, and then we'll come back, because the clip actually goes right along with what we're talking about here. So hang tight. We'll be back right after this with a whole lot more. And get up that clip. Get it ready. Okay. Now, very quickly, we need, 3, 2, 1.
Thank you for listening to What's Right, What's Left, the voice of the Christian resistance. To support this ministry, head to wrwl.org. That's wrwl.org. Mail your donations to What's Right, What's Left Ministries, 14781 Sperry Road, Newberry, Ohio, 44065. If you missed part of tonight's program, you can check out the podcast at thewordcleveland.com. Thewordcleveland.com. Once again, thank you for listening and supporting What's Right, What's Left Ministries, the voice of the Christian resistance. Stay tuned. The second hour is coming up next.